This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight in New York. And we get a preview of the final. And with Father's Day coming up, it's the one supply item every dad can agree on. The Survival Doctor has a thousand uses for this. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is chasing a man with an assault rifle in North Hollywood who's in a standoff with a SWAT team. We hope to hear from her the moment the coast is clear. Refreshed like a well-oiled chainsaw, it's Jay Capadonia.
Phil, what's worse than a 9-foot great white shark? How about one that can eat it?
Ooh.
I've got details.
And deep in thought, it's Chris Martin.
Just leaked into the presses is a list of the NFL's demands for the lucky city that gets to host a Super Bowl. Wait until you hear what they're asking for.
All right, very good. Let's get started. And right on cue, Jennifer Bjorklund joins us live. I believe, Jennifer, you're in North Hollywood. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I'm actually at the park where a lot of these school kids have been evacuated. You know, this standoff is happening right by North Hollywood High and Colfax School, and we're watching parents pick up their kids here in the park, which is great news for them. It's summer school, by the way, for Colfax, but you know, a lot of worried parents when they saw this guy. And I don't know if you saw this video earlier this morning of this guy bailing out of this pursuit that ended up at the bottom of the Magnolia off-ramp on the 170 freeway. He jumps out of his car and he's carrying this assault rifle, which he'd been waving around at police during the pursuit, which was about an hour or so in the making, from Boyle Heights onto the 5, onto the 10. And the 170 freeway was also involved. Some really high speeds that he took there and a lot of bad, scary near misses with other cars. But this is where it all ended here in North Hollywood. And he ran out of his car, ran across a bunch of lawns, and ended up on somebody's roof. And that was really scary because he's standing there with the gun just like, hey, here I am. And when I talked to the police just a little while ago, they told me they don't know if he has any ties to this neighborhood or why he landed there. It could just be a random person's house that that he took over. The good news is they don't think anyone was home at the time. So he's apparently alone in the house, and they're just waiting him out at this point.
So in other words, he's surrounded, and he has no choice but to either give himself up or something. Otherwise,
yeah.
There are always options for these guys. We also understand, this is according to the LAPD media on their Nixle service, that children who attend Oakwood School on Magnolia,
right,
they were escorted out by officers as well.
Yeah, they were. Oakwood School also was evacuated. That's a private school. I think it's an intermediate school. So we have kids of all ages that are going home with their parents right now.
So where you're standing, how far away from this house where the individual is holed up are you?
I'm about two blocks, actually. I'm on the other side of the 170 freeway on Magnolia, right at the on the northbound off-ramp. So if you were to get off northbound, I'm standing right there across in this park where they're staging all the kids with their parents to be picked up. And it's crazy. We've seen so many of these armored vehicles go by that we're betting there's not another single SWAT unit free in all of Los Angeles. I mean, I haven't seen this kind of mobilization in a long time. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that he had that assault rifle and that, I mean, people were scattering on the sidewalks when he jumped out of the car. That was alarming.
Goodness. Jennifer, yeah. Jay has a question for you.
Yeah.
When I was watching the video, I saw that he had the assault rifle or the tactical-looking weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cops originally started going after this guy for making threats. Now, do we know if this guy popped a few shots at officers, or do
no,
we know if he shot anybody prior to the police chase? I mean,
I asked specifically if he had any criminal history related to that kind of weaponry, and the answer was we don't know. The terrorist threat deal had to do with a felony warrant that was out for his arrest, and we believe that was connected to a domestic violence restraining order making terrorist threats against a specific person in Boyle Heights. That's the neighborhood where he was spotted. There was a restraining order against him to keep away from that particular residence. He was spotted near it about 10:15 this morning, and officers saw him, started following him, and that's when the pursuit started. So it's not that whole terrorist threat thing could be related to a domestic violence thing that's unrelated to all of this. But as the police clarified for us, the one thing for sure, the most serious charge he's facing right now is assault on a police officer with that weapon because he was pointing it at them.
Right. Jennifer, we know you're going to stay busy for the most of the afternoon. If something breaks there, if this individual gives himself up or if something else happens, I hope that you'll check back in with us and give us a quick update. Can you do that for
us? Oh, you bet I will, Phil. You are first on my mind always, and I will let you know as soon as we get the all clear. But I have a feeling that they're just going to wait him out because, you know, at this point, time is on their side.
I got you. Jennifer Bjorklund, great to hear from you. Stay safe, and we hope to talk to you soon.
You bet.
There she goes. That's our very own Jennifer Bjorklund on the job, as usual. Wherever the stories are happening, she goes straight to them. And Jay, certainly seems like there have been a lot of shootings in the news just in the last couple of days. And there was this one over the weekend in Vegas that has a lot of us scratching our heads.
Right. Two cops, a husband and wife shooter and a shopper are all dead after basically what authorities are calling an ambush in Vegas. So we know this couple basically barged into a pizza joint and screamed, "This is a revolution," and then shot two of the cops that were sitting there having lunch. It was like a CC's pizza bar. It's like $5 and all you can eat or type thing.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they left a swastika and a flag that read, "Don't tread on me," on the two bodies of the officers as they were exiting the pizza joint.
Yeah. These are misguided individuals. They I don't know what they're thinking. Are they thinking this is some kind of – they had to have revolution and react to resort to this sort of thing to protect some kind of liberty or freedom? I don't know. I think they're a little twisted in this.
A little bit. But funny you should mention that. The cops are saying that they have an ideology of militia and supremacists where the cops are the oppressor. So it's – I mean, it's actually – amazing that only five are dead, including the two shooters.
So they also say that this couple had some kind of a suicide pact, and that's how they
went into the Walmart and started screaming. They went across the parking lot and started screaming, "Hey, everybody get out." They gunned down one shopper there. Apparently a neighbor saw them going to the pizza joint, and they had a grocery cart full of weapons.
Hmm.
Now, that's kind of unconfirmed and all that, but you know this guy out in the Bundy Ranch. Do you know this story?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Apparently, they showed up there as well.
No kidding.
Before the shooting and were asked to leave because they were too extreme.
This is the guy, the cattle rancher, who wants to let his cattle roam on
federal land.
Federal land, yeah.
Right, and there's a big dust-up over that, and there's SWAT situation there and all these other things that have been happening.
Yeah, all right.
So evidently, they were asked to leave there. But they are gone. New details.
Get off of my property. You guys are too extreme.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a kind of a good ending to one of these shooting stories. And again, too many of these shooting stories. The one that happened at the Seattle Pacific University on Thursday. John Mace, I think is how it's pronounced, is the 26-year-old college student who tackled the shooter at that small Christian school Thursday. He's getting married later this month. So people online have been thanking him by buying everything on his gift registry.
Oh, wow.
Right on.
Then someone started fundraising on a page and a website called GoFundMe.com, and they raised another $5,000 for his honeymoon.
Awesome.
And so far, that page has raised 50 grand.
No way.
Time to upgrade the suite.
Yeah.
So how about that, huh?
Wow.
The spoils of being a hero in this day and age.
Yeah, forget Vegas for the honeymoon. Let's go to Paris, baby.
Yeah, why not?
Wow. Well, good for him.
There you go. You know, they spotted a great white shark over the weekend in Santa Barbara, I believe off of Leadbetter Beach, and they're getting an increased number of great white sightings. But that's just here. Great white sharks are more or less commonplace in Australia, aren't they, Jay?
Correct. And now one has washed up along shore. A 9-foot great white shark.
9 foot?
9 foot. That's not messing around, okay? But here's the thing. The great white had a tracking device placed on it somehow, some way, somewhere. So all of a sudden, the tracking device went away. And then it came back.
Ooh.
And then went away again. And they say the shark's temperature rose rapidly, then quickly plunged. Now, here's the thing. That indicates that the shark may have been eaten. So now scientists are looking for what they're calling a colossal cannibal great white shark.
Wow. How big would that? I mean, for a 9-foot great white to be a bite-sized morsel.
This has
to be some shark.
You're talking like school bus size.
Whoa.
If not bigger. And if it's a colossal cannibal,
yeah,
that thing, it'll eat a school bus.
Yes. Boy, front page of every one of the travel websites, Great Barrier Reef, scuba diving.
Yeah. No. No. So the mystery sea monster is still on the loose.
All right, a couple of questions for you. Who has more demands before putting on a show? Van Halen, Barbra Streisand, or the NFL? And who do you think's better at instinctually knowing which hand is hiding the rock, humans or chimps? We have answers for you and a bunch of useful and entertaining stuff you didn't know. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. Tell your friends, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and friends. Like it. Like the page. There will be rewards in life later on. We're yet to explain what those are exactly, but they are coming, I promise.
I like that.
I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay Cappadonia, Chris Martin are in the studio here. Jennifer Bjorklund is out at North Hollywood with the standoff. And the moment something breaks there, she will check in with us. All right. I posed a couple of questions before the break, and one of them involved demands before putting on a show. And Chris, the drum roll, was it Van Halen? Was it Barbra Streisand, or was it the NFL?
It was Barbra Streisand, Phil.
It was not. Come on. I thought we rehearsed this.
Well, it was the NFL.
Look who you're working with. Sorry,
okay.
Phil.
You know, being accepted as the host city for hosting the Super Bowl is not easy. The NFL knows it, and that's why they have no problems holding the awarded city to a list of demands. The Minneapolis Star Tribune, which Minnesota is going to host the Super Bowl in 2018, got a hold of said list and released it. Now, this is a 153-page document, all full of requests.
All right, what page are you starting on?
Well, the first thing to know is the NFL expects nearly all of its demands free of charge. The term "at no cost to the NFL" appears over 150 times in this manifesto.
No kidding, on 150 pages, 150 times.
Yeah, and the NFL in this list, they manage almost every aspect of the host city, including what city officials should be on the host committee and at what level of priority they should have.
All right.
Stadium seat sizes, which, by the way, need to be a minimum of 19 inches.
Wow, that could be a whole retrofitting if your stadium isn't properly set up.
For 70,000 seats, too.
Oh, man.
If you have a grass field, it needs to be resodded or replaced with artificial turf prior to the big game.
No kidding.
They need police escorts for all team owners. Or both team owners, I should say.
Okay.
35,000 parking spaces, 20 free billboards around the area, 3 top-quality golf courses reserved for their tournaments.
That's got to work real well in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's going to go well. Yeah, all right.
They might skip that one in Minneapolis. 2 top-quality bowling venues for the celebrity bowling tournament.
That'll go over well in Minneapolis.
They mention...
What else do you do when it's snowing outside? Oh, let's go bowling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of the few places where they have heated bowling alleys.
Yeah, right.
They mention in the document that recent committee budgets have been 12 to 50 million, so sort of prodding you along that direction. But it doesn't end there. They ask for portable cell towers, ATMs that take league preferred credit cards, hotel menus, a familiarization trip for the NFL, its sponsors, its broadcasters, and its partners.
Over 180 people. At no cost to the NFL.
At no cost to the NFL.
Wow.
Do they want like just blue M&Ms in the locker room, or like some of the stupid star demands that we hear every once in a while?
Foot massage, carry on your shoulders on the way to the hotel.
Yeah, this is funny because they could just ask whatever it is. And they're probably laughing in the boardroom when they come up with some of these demands.
Yeah, right.
We can ask anything and they'll say yes.
Solid gold toilets. Put it on the list.
Done. So it could be a big economic bump for these cities, but they might have to start weighing out whether or not it's worth it.
Yeah. All right. Very good. The other question we asked was humans versus chimps. Who's better, Jay, at guessing where the stone in the hand is?
Chimps, Phil.
Well, okay. See you later.
Okay. Good night, everybody. So evidently a bunch of brainiacs over at Caltech in Pasadena, they wanted to see if chimps or humans were smarter at picking basically what you said. It's a 50-50 chance game. So I'll pick one and then you get to pick out of the two which one you think that I chose. Here's the thing. Humans overthought the whole process and the chimps outscored them by like a score of, I think, 6-1. So it's basically what it boils down to. Chimps are so much more instinctual than humans.
They're in tune with it.
See, exactly.
We, as human beings, have to fight our instinct. Otherwise, there'd be anarchy.
Right. Exactly. Well, we were talking before the show. It's a common sense thing. Because if we acted on our animalistic natures, it would be bedlam.
We make choices based on our knowledge, our common sense, and intuition. But it probably isn't even all that great when you think about how chimps in life do everything based on instinct.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we are evolved into socially acceptable humans.
I thought you were going to say mush.
Yeah, well, that too. But I just thought it was hilarious that chimps are much smarter than us.
Sounded to me like you were telling us that chimps are telepathic. No, that's not it?
No, not yet.
That's what we would call it if we were any good at this game.
Right.
Hey, at this point, we all know the photos people use for online dating don't match exactly how they look in real life.
Tell me about it.
But at least you hope the photos are somewhat close. A new survey found that about 1 out of 5 times, they aren't even close. 21% of people say they've gone on a date with somebody they met online who was, quote, unrecognizable.
Yep.
They looked that different from their photos.
It really happens, Phil. I lucked out. I met the girlfriend online.
Yep.
And she looks better than she does in her picture. I will say that.
Well, that's unusual.
But there have been times where you go out and you're like, hi, who are you?
What? Yeah. And it makes total sense. 1 out of 4 people say that they use some photos that are at least 5 years old on their dating profile.
Oh,
overall, 33% of people say they've gone on at least one date where they were disappointed at how the person looked in real life. And 48% have gone on a date with someone only because of their looks.
That's true, too, Phil.
So shallow.
I guess so.
But, you know, it happens. In online dating, it's so easy to be whoever you want.
Yeah.
The girlfriend and I, we've talked about this, and it's like, when we went on, we decided to say, okay, look, we are going to be as real as possible, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
It just lucked out that, you know, we found each other. But there are some doozies. Doozies out there.
Well, buyer beware.
Yes.
Dater beware.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you have to put on a cream, you know, or some kind of a lotion to stop from the dangerous rays of online dating.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, Phil, because a school district in Texas.
It's so bad. Can we just point
that
out?
Let's just seg right into this.
So bad. Our segues are getting terrible.
Northeast Independent School District in Texas has placed a ban on sunscreen in Texas. They're considering it a toxic substance, and it has been that way for a while. And
what?
Yeah, so now these youngsters aren't allowed to reapply their sunscreen during the day, and it has parents very upset because now they have to slather their kids up in the morning before they go to school, and these kids are just glistening because they've been coated 3 times with Banana Boat SPF 90 before they even get to the campus.
They have that?
Yeah.
SPF 90? I don't know if it goes that high. They're not even allowed to bring sunscreen on field trips. Now, here's the district's logic behind this. They say that some children have allergic reactions to sunscreen. They list that as just one of the numerous reasons, including we don't want them sharing sunscreen. We don't want them eating the sunscreen. Sunscreen is treated like...
There's always the one kid.
Right. Yeah.
There's always the one kid
Billy.
In the back of the classroom
right.
just
and
chowing
leave,
down.
Leave it to the schools to come up with a universal rule based on that one kid.
Exactly.
Now they're going to have to get rid of the bars, the monkey bars. Is that what they call them? Because you can't work those properly when you're slathered up.
Right, monkey bars, gymnasium. Well, they do allow children to use sunscreen, but it's treated like a medicine. So children need a doctor's note, and you have to go to the nurse's office
what?
To get it applied or reapplied.
Oh, and, that's ridiculous.
You know, outrage is just increasing in the parents.
That is ridiculous.
Real quickly, the district does review policies each year, and there's a good chance that this one's going to get a revisit, which
yeah.
is probably
yeah.
a good idea.
By the way, we have a new page at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's called Show Fun. You'll see it in the menu at the top. And the reason I bring it up is because there's video of a guy giving his dad a 57 Chevy for his 57th birthday. It's getting millions of hits. He promised his dad all along that someday, Dad, on your 57th birthday, I'll get you this car. Well, he actually did it, and I want you to watch the video. We have it for you at philhewlettandfriends.com on the Show Fun page. Hey, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight at Madison Square Garden in New York. Can the Kings go up 3? You will hear from LA Times reporter Helene Elliott next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980, right in the middle of the Stanley Cup Final, Game 3 tonight in New York, Madison Square Garden. And joining us live now is LA Times sports reporter Helene Elliott. Helene, hello. Are you in New York or did you stay back for this one?
Oh, I'm in New York.
Okay, very good. Would not expect anything less from you, and we appreciate it. So everybody's scratching their heads. I mean, people come to me, the duck boy, and they say, Phil, what's the deal with this Kings team? And I try to be as magnanimous as possible. But in every case, when I'm watching the games, the analysts on NBC say the Rangers are playing better hockey. But in the end, the better team seems to give up a 2 or more goal lead and lose. So which is the better team?
Generally, the one that has more points or goals or whatever the question is at the end of it. It's just amazing when you listen to the national, quote-unquote, national broadcasters who apparently have never seen the Kings play and many of whom cannot pronounce Ange Kopitar's name correctly.
Right.
It's as if the Kings just kind of wandered in off the street here and, the Rangers, it's all anointed and preordained that the Rangers should win the Cup. I mean, you know, let's show a little bit of fairness here and a little bit of respect, but they don't seem to think that's necessary.
Yeah, well, I'll throw a little East Coast disrespect out there. I do believe that it's going to be a good 3 years of free agency and pointed draft picks before the East has a chance to winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, the West is just so much stronger these days, and I don't know if you agree with that.
I absolutely do, and I also think it's worth pointing out the coaching job that Daryl Sutter has done.
Right. Talk about that because there hasn't, I believe, been enough attention to what the coach is doing.
I absolutely agree with you. And actually, I wrote something in a column today in the paper saying that this has been a much tougher playoff run for Daryl Sutter and for the Kings than it was 2 years ago. I mean, in 2012, they won the first 3 games of every playoff series they played that year. They had no injuries on defense that year. They were able to play in the same 6 defensemen in every single game. And this year has been very different. They're scoring more goals, but they're giving up more. They've had to juggle defensemen. They had Willie Mitchell was out with an injury for a while. Robin Regier was out with an injury for a while. And Daryl Sutter has kept this team believing. He's kept them disciplined. He's kept them together. He's relied on a very strong leadership core. And he's gotten them this far, and I think a lot of people's eyes should be open to the fact that he has done a terrific job this season.
Yeah, and he really juggles those lines mid-game, and you get into the third, and people wonder, how do they shift into that other gear? Well, there's a lot of kind of a chess match that goes on there where the two teams are trying to, or maybe the Rangers are trying to match up with the Kings line, but Coach Sutter throws a whole bunch of wrenches into that theory.
Yeah, Sutter's not married to matchups. He doesn't think it's absolutely imperative to have, you know, the so-and-so against the other team's first line, or the, or his top defense pair against, you know, the other team's second line or whatever it is. He's very able to make adjustments. I think he's been making adjustments since they lost that third game in the first round against San Jose. He's been flexible. He's gone with his gut on a lot of decisions, and you know, you can't argue with the results.
Now, here's what I expect to happen tonight. I think we're going to see a much better Rangers team. I think they're going to put in a good 60 minutes. And in the whole scheme of things, this is the game I believe the Rangers win, but then it's over.
I tend to agree with you. I think, yeah, they'll come out. The Rangers will come out with a lot of energy because of the home crowd. You know, they've already all said, you know, this is the game they need to win. The coach has pretty much said that they have to hold serve. They have to win this home game and their other home games. But I tend to agree with you. I think the Rangers are primed to get to play their best game so far tonight, and it'll be interesting to see if they do. And if they do, can the Kings respond to that and top it?
Yep. All right. And so they would win game four, the Kings would, and then come home and take the whole thing, game five. And I got asked this question because I've been making this prediction on the air for, it seems like a week and a half now, Kings in five. I was asked on the air this morning when the victory parade will be. And I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
Good Lord. Can we just take this one crisis at a time?
Oh, goodness. See? Right back to the sports cliches. One game at a time.
No. I said one crisis at a time.
Oh, exactly. Well, see? Yeah, that's a variation. Well played.
That's how my life goes.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you can pick lottery numbers for me, too, that would be nice. Jeez.
Now, Helene, I wonder if you'll confirm for me something. I can't help you with that. But I wonder if you'll confirm. Jay found some notes on the price of tickets at Madison Square Garden tonight. And, Jay, start with the cheap seats. What do you see?
I'm seeing cheap seats going for $753.
Wow.
Goodness.
So you you get press passes, so you don't care. Evidently, if you want to sit right by one of the blue lines and one of the expensive seats, $92,000.
Holy smokes!
Excuse me?
Yes.
$92,000.
$92,000 for the expensive seats.
That's kind of pricey. I mean, you could buy a couple cars for that.
I'll say, yeah. This is not a working man's playoff, is it?
I mean, I know New York is expensive, yeah. But come on.
Yeah, there's always sources and people who know people who know people. But yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, and again, it's driven by demand because the Rangers have not been in the Stanley Cup Finals for 20 years. I mean, you know, in Southern California, we've gotten spoiled. We've had the Stanley Cup Finals in 2007 when the Ducks were in it. About 2003 also when the Ducks were in it. We had it in 2012 when the Kings were in it, and again the Kings are in it. So, you know, Stanley has gotten used to being in Southern California more than he's been in New York.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, Helene, you enjoy the game tonight. We'll enjoy your perspective in the Los Angeles Times tomorrow. And thank you, as always, for spending some time with us here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Thank you, Mr. Duck Boy.
Oh!
That's Helene Elliott right there.
Hey,
very good.
Phil,
yes.
Kind of speaking about New York and speaking about sports,
mm-hmm.
with a Los Angeles tie, former Laker Derek Fisher,
yeah.
has agreed to become the new head coach of the Knicks.
Really?
Yeah, 5 years, $25 million.
The Fish.
Here's the thing. It's kind of cool because, like, New York now has a couple of Los Angeles ties. Derek Fish, Mr. Point Four,
yeah.
who nailed it, you know, in the playoffs a few years ago for us. Head coach, and if you hadn't asked me his name, who used to be the Lakers head coach, Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
is now president of operations for the Knicks.
Wow, I wonder if Phil had anything to do with Fish.
You think?
I think so.
So there you go. Good for Fish.
How about that? All right, guys. Just in time for Father's Day. Something we can all agree on, a million uses for duct tape.
Oh, boy.
And we'll talk about that with the survival doctor next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, this is about as real as it gets here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. I say that because I'm pretty confident in saying that we all love duct tape, don't we? I mean, there are endless uses. I bet you have your favorites. You know, like when you run out of bungee cord. Here are some of the great possibilities when it comes to duct tape, and perhaps some medical uses for this does-it-all supply. Dr. James Hubbard is the survival doctor, and he joins us live. Dr. Hi. Hubbard, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
All right, what makes duct tape so strong and durable?
It's just the way it has three layers. It has a plastic outer layer. It has a very sticky inner layer and a layer in between that's kind of a cloth mesh. And it all works together and it all sticks well and people love it.
Yeah, not love it enough to deep fry it though, right? You should not eat duct tape.
I haven't found that to be a use of it yet.
Okay, very good. All right, so a couple of things. I wear a Stanley Cup ring to the hockey games when I go. And then after a nice helping of that pressed dining room food, my fingers tend to swell up. Tough to get that ring off sometime. You say you could use duct tape for that? How?
Yeah. And it's a lot of people that have had rings on for a long time and their fingers have swollen for whatever reason and they can't get them off. You can use the duct tape instead of having them cut off. And you just make a little thin little strip, maybe 2 or 3 feet long, and very, very thin, like maybe an eighth of an inch. Fold it together so that the sticky part is gone, and then you've got almost a strong type ribbon. And you if you have a little Vaseline or something, you put it around the ring. You stick it under the ring, the one end under the ring, far enough where it's not going to come back out. And you start wrapping above the ring, toward the end of the finger. You wrap and you wrap and you wrap until you get past the knuckle. What that does is it displaces the swelling on out to the other part of your finger, and then you can gradually, the end that you originally stuck in, you start pulling on it, push the ring off, and it'll come off. A lot of times it's easier to in the book I have a diagram of that and some illustrations, and it's easier to look at that, I think, to picture it, but yeah. It really works.
The book, of course, the book is called,
a little difficult for you to explain.
Yeah,
there,
the book is called Duct Tape 911, The Many Amazing Medical Things You Can Do to Duct Tape Yourself Together. And it's out just in time for Father's Day. And so, right, you say that works most of the time. And if it doesn't, please don't go for the hacksaw. Maybe it is time to call 911.
Go for dish soap. Come on.
Yeah.
What's that old trick that you do?
Dish soap is fine. Yeah. Elevation and ice are fine. But sometimes they're not enough.
Yeah. Hey, what's that old trick you do to make lenses for your glasses?
Yeah, now it's pinhole lenses, and I don't know if you've ever heard of those or not. But if you're like me and you don't have perfect vision, in fact, if I can't tell a stick from a snake if I have my glasses off, so if I were to lose them or my contacts or whatever, and out in somewhere where I couldn't get to my spare, then you can make a decent pair out of some duct tape. All you have to do is you make a little band around the back of your head. You make, and the lens part, it's just duct tape folded over, so again, so there's not any sticky part. You put little pinholes in there, and you can test that yourself. You can get a little pinhole in a piece of paper, and if you're nearsighted like me, take your glasses off and just test it, and you'll see that probably you'll see I'm probably 2200 without my glasses and probably 2040, 2060 with the duct tape.
No kidding.
Enough to see. And the reason for that is it just focuses all the light back into your retina that you need, and you don't have all that scattered light around that makes everything fuzzy.
Here's a missed opportunity. We could have done this entire show with pinhole duct tape glasses on, just to test this out, right?
Yeah, it works. I've seen those. I've seen pinhole duct tape, not duct tape, plastic glasses soles at places. And, you know, I don't – people say, well, why don't you get those? Well, I don't know that you're going to need those type, and they're not in fashion very much. And I'd rather have, you know, just in case, have the duct tape available. And, of course, you're not going to be able to see, like, wide distances your range of motion is going to be cut down quite a bit. So you put several pinholes in there, and it helps a little bit on that.
Now, you talked about long distances. Let's say you're driving up in the mountains, you have a little snow, and you run out of gas about a mile away from your cabin, and you realize you're just wearing tennis shoes. But you've got a roll of duct tape in the glove compartment. Are you in business?
Hopefully you'll do better than that, but certainly that happens. Hopefully you'll be a little bit more prepared, but duct tape is great to waterproof your shoes. I can't guarantee your shoes will be great looking after you take the duct tape off, but it's great, as opposed to, you don't want to get frostbitten or anything like that.
Because of that adhesive on there, right? I mean,
yeah,
what is
that?
Can they come up with duct tape that doesn't leave all that goo?
Well, they have, and in fact, the better the goo, the better the duct tape, usually. So I don't know that they're going to find anything that doesn't have the goo.
All right. How about for some more specific, real medical purposes? Can duct tape save my life, for instance? Let's say I'm bleeding to death.
Yeah. And part of the book is teaching little basic things like that that can save lives in kind of an entertaining way. And if you have someone who's bleeding, or you are, first thing you do is you apply pressure. And if the pressure is not working, then the second thing is you use a tourniquet. And most people, it's easy to use a tourniquet, and I show in there how to do that. All you got to do is wrap a piece of duct tape around you. I would use the sticky side out so it's not sticking to you. And I'd wrap two or three until tighter and tighter until the bleeding stops.
How about
and
that?
You have a tourniquet that's going to work.
Hey, Phil.
Well, yes. Well, just so you know, we're talking to Dr. James Hubbard. He's the survival doctor. His book's called Duct Tape 911, The Many Amazing Medical Things You Can Do to Tape Yourself Together. And Chris has a question for the survival doctor.
Well, Phil, I actually have a use for duct tape that you don't hear about very often. And I don't know if James has this in his book or not, but if you're a senior in high school, you can use it to tape freshmen to their lockers.
Mm-hmm. No, I just have them. I don't know if that's a medical use.
No, but it might come in handy after they rip them off of those metal lockers, right?
Yeah. Repair some of those.
Do you have a favorite use?
My favorite use is the ring, but I don't know if you've ever heard of duct tape and warts. A lot of people have. It's a great way to remove warts.
How does that work?
Oh,
warts are viruses, and they're really hard to get. Sometimes they're really hard to get rid of. I mean, I burned plenty of them off, and they come back. So duct tape. You put it on, you keep it on for about 3 days, and then you take it off, you soak. It takes a while, but it does with any type of wart remover. You soak the wart, you kind of peel off any dead skin, you put it back on. Now, in 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully that wart will be gone, because the body will start thinking, start making antibodies against that virus. It'll start saying, this is irritating too much, and I think it needs to go away. So antibodies to the virus kills the virus, the wart's gone.
Do you think the guys that came up with duct tape in the first place thought that it would have purposes outside of just sticking things together?
I doubt it. I don't know. I doubt if they have all the many things you can do. I was listening. So I was telling some army medic, and he said they used to make cups out of duct tape, and then they would get hot stones. This is not in the book, but get really, really hot stones, put it in there, and they'd have some hot water to steep some tea or something like that.
Wow.
That's another use.
Dr. Hubbard, where can people get your book?
TheSurvivalDoctor.com. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it there. And if you get it pretty soon, I'll send it to you with an autograph and whatever you want to say to Dad for a gift.
Wow. You should autograph a roll of duct tape along with that.
That's true.
You know, right on the inside, on the inner core on that duct tape?
Yeah, so if I buy the book, I don't get a free roll of duct tape? Come on.
You know what I do, though, is on the envelopes, I duct tape the seals started coming off on the envelopes and a couple, and the books dropped out. So I just duct tape those seals. And
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, there you go. Always great. Thinking on your feet. I like that about you. Dr. James Hubbard, thesurvivaldoctor.com. Duct tape 911, the many amazing medical things you can do to tape yourself together. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. How about that? See, we learn something every day, don't we?
It was always a favorite with my brother and I to duct tape each other's mouth shut.
Oh, gosh. Hey, this guy who was chopping down trees, duct tape couldn't have helped him, could it?
No, but I'm surprised. We should have kept the doctor on and asked him if they could have helped a broken ankle. Guy's cutting down big-time trees, like in his vast estate in Michigan, right? It's a very heavily wooded area, heavily wooded state. So a guy's chopping down these chainsaws, and these chainsaws that they use in Michigan in these heavily wooded areas are no joke. They're about 30 pounds apiece.
Sure.
So the guy's chopping this, chopping that, moves over here to another pile of wood. One of the logs fell over and hit him in the ankle and snapped his ankle. And he couldn't get out from underneath it. He couldn't pull his leg out from underneath it, just this big cut of wood. Well, because he wanted to spend time with his son. He had his four-year-old son with him.
Yep.
And he says, hey, he told the newspaper, he goes, hey, you're going to have to help Daddy. All of a sudden, the kid just starts bawling. I can't, Daddy. I can't. I don't want to. I don't want to. So finally, he convinced his four-year-old son to go over and lift this 30-pound chainsaw.
Yeah.
Bring it over to him.
He
Dragged it over. Started it. And then the father was then able to kind of help him guide so he could cut the log that was on top of his leg to a manageable piece so he could get away.
Thank goodness you finished it that way, because I thought you were going to have this. I thought the son was going to cut off his ankle to cut him free.
Hey, one little thought to leave you with. Warren Buffett, you know who that is?
Yeah, rich guy.
Yeah, he knows how to invest. He's a very rich guy. People spend a couple million dollars just to have lunch with him. He's only sent one email in his entire life. He sent it to a friend at Microsoft, and it ended up being used in a court case.
Nah.
He's never sent another email. And by the way, he still uses a Nokia flip phone.
No way.
Yep. That's the
richest
Oracle
guy
right
on the
there.
Planet?
Warren Buffett. Hey, we love your comments. Email us at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. At Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Nick Wright, thank you. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.